This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I've been on a lot of teams, and I played baseball for 31 years old, so 28 years. And if you don't have good team chemistry, your chances of being successful is pretty close to zero.
Hell, we haven't heard from Nick Castellanos in a while. Welcome back, Nick. Welcome back, everyone. It's the Midday Show.
Constellino.
Hey, our guy. Welcome back. We had a lot to discuss here. 215-592-9494. Oh, we're going to throw a little Phillies in the mix as well. But I got to say, so it's a tri-day. Fridays are tri-days on the Midday Show. And this week, we're looking for a new TV show to check out here. But last week, we were looking for odd or different food combinations. And the winner last week, the person who intrigued us the most, said mustard on pizza. Now, we planned to do it last weekend. None of us got around to actually having pizza, so we couldn't do it. But today, we were like, all right, let's order some pizza. So we have some pizza here. It arrived. And we all just tried some with mustard on it. And I got to say,
not bad.
It works.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
in.
Not bad. It's
this might
bad.
Be a new thing.
It's better than not bad. Like, it's actually legitimately good.
Yeah. I liked it.
I'm floored by it.
I think the person last week that won was referencing a place over in Jersey that does it. Like it's part of the recipe in the within the sauce. Mm. I can see why it works.
It makes sense, man.
The yeah, taste, it's pretty tangy. I liked it.
It goes together. So
I went back and re-dipped. Like, that tells you all you need to know.
If you go back for a second dip, yeah. you are fully in.
All I right, just kind of spread it all over my pizza because I had a feeling it was going to be pretty good.
It's good. It is good. We appreciate that recommendation, and we're using the TV one today. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to all your Eagles calls. Major or minor changes to the roster this year. But the Phillies, Hugh, they're there. We've been talking a lot about them in camp. Castellanos talking about being excited for camp and all that. But it does feel like there's one thing that we haven't talked much about. That almost is like people aren't even thinking about, because we think about World Series, right? Yeah. The playoffs, taking the next step. What are we calling this camp, WIP? Unfinished business down
unfinished
there?
Unfinished business with a PH.
Yes, with a PH. But there's also other business to tend to before the unfinished business. Unfinished business, you know, that signifies the October stuff, right? What about the division? You know, it's almost like we're just acknowledging or conceding the division to the Braves. Hugh, I understand the Braves are excellent. They had, like, what, 9 players that top 100 list? The Phillies had 5. The Braves are tremendous in the regular season, although we know the Phillies have had their number in the postseason. But you know what I don't want to do?
What's that?
I don't want to concede the division right now. I want to win the NL East. I want a real NL East pennant chase this season. And, Hugh, this may surprise you, but I think the Phillies have enough to compete with the Braves in the East. I don't think it's crazy for me to sit here when the season starts, I want to win the East.
I don't think it's crazy either. I really don't. But it all depends on what type of start you get off to the season.
Yeah.
I think that when you talk about the Braves and the fast start that they got off to last year, they benefited tremendously from that. What hurt us last year, had a lot of injuries, had a lot of guys coming back from injury, had a lot of question marks about, you know, some of the young guys. I don't think that's the case this year. I think going into this season, you're looking at growth from everybody. You're talking about Trey Turner is going to be more comfortable in the offense. You're talking about Stotten Bohm being a little bit more comfortable, because those were the two guys that kind of carried us when we had the Bryce Harper power outage. The fact that Bryce Harper is coming back healthy, I think that's going to help out everything. But to me, Joe, to compete for the division is cool, but it's not necessary, because we've seen over the past couple of seasons that winning a division means nothing.
You're right about that, especially now that they've changed the format of the playoffs to where the two teams get a bye, and then it seems like it's a little bit of a detriment because you get that time off. We were down there in Atlanta last year for that first round series, and you know the Braves looked a little flat to start that series. So you mentioned the slow starts. Hugh, I pulled it up. The last 2 years, on May 31st, so when the Phillies woke up on June 1st, 2 years ago they were 12.5 games out. Last year, 7.5. I mean, they basically have been dead to win the division by June 1st in each of the last 2 years. And I know they've talked a lot about getting off to a faster start. They need to. And I do want to win the division. I mean, one, I'd love to watch a real race. I'd love to watch it
like going back and forth, yeah, and being, looking at the standings and everything.
Like by last August, it almost felt a little boring to that.
Yeah, because the Braves ran away with it.
And we also knew the Phillies probably were in great shape for the wild card. So it was like, all right, we're kind of just buying time till we get to October. I would love to watch a full season division race. And I do think the Phillies have enough to stay with them. The Braves got Chris Sale. They got Jared Kelnick. They didn't add any other stars. Like, the Braves are what they are. If the Phillies play like they have from June 1st on, they should stay with them.
Yeah, but I think it's something to be said about catching fire at the right time. You know, and sometimes I feel like it's better to get off to a somewhat of a slower start so that you can gain more momentum as the season progresses. Now, granted, it didn't work out for us towards the end because it felt like, you know, we kind of ran out of gas as far as our firepower offensively was concerned. But I do like the premise of starting the season a little bit slower and just building through that momentum. Because like you said, the Braves started off like gangbusters. And then their offense was sputtering as far as the like they had like four or five guys on their head, like 40 home runs or something crazy like that.
Yeah, you know what?
Throughout that lineup.
And that's part of why I think the Phillies have enough. I think some of those Braves guys had career years. I don't know if it's going to happen again. Like Acuna's great, right? He's going to be great again. But is Matt Olson going to hit 54 home runs again? I don't know. I mean, that might have been his peak year, and maybe he hits 40 or whatever, 38. I think some of those Braves guys were a little bit over their head. Not Acuna, he's special. But the other guys, it wouldn't surprise me if they come back to earth a little bit. They've got older pitchers. Kyle, I want to win the East. I don't want to concede the East and say, oh, just get him in the wild card round. I want to win the division.
I think they're going to win the division, Joe. I'm going to make a bold prediction.
Oh, now
right here
we go.
Ready?
Hot takey.
The Philadelphia Phillies will not only win the NL East, but they will lead it wire to wire.
Yeah, that's hot taking.
Wow.
I don't think that's hot taking, man. Look, like I think for a lot of the reasons you mentioned there, Hugh, there's much more reason to believe that instead of that, like as opposed to the last two seasons, the Phillies can get off to a hot start this season, right? You're not really acclimating anybody to the roster. You're not dealing with a newbie in Trey Turner who's got to get settled into Philly or Castellanos or any of that kind of stuff.
Agreed.
There's a ton of continuity on this team. There's no World Baseball Classic, right? There's no, at least at, up to this point, spring training hasn't started yet, but you're not dealing with getting Ranger Suarez coming off of an injury or Zach Wheeler. You know, there's no like real ramp up that you need to do with these guys as opposed to like it was last season. I think Bryce Harper's going to be, you know, knock on wood, playing the entire year. His power will be with him to start the season. I think you see a full season of a good version of Trey Turner. And I like to believe that Alec Boehm and Bryson Stott will take another step forward. They're still young players. Like I think there is untapped potential in the Phillies roster that we didn't really fully tap into last year that we will this year. And that's not even to mention some of the guys on the pitching staff that I think will turn a bit of a corner last year. I know Soto pissed everybody off. But I'm looking at Soto as a guy that's going to have a big bounce back season this year.
So if you look at the Phillies and Braves from June 2nd on last year, if you count the playoff series, right, that they played each other, like if you take it from June 2nd through the night that Phillies eliminated the Braves, I believe the Braves, if my math, and we're not a great math show, but I'm trying to do it here in front of me, I think the Braves won one total more game. That's it. I mean, they were basically even teams from June 2nd through the end of that playoff series.
I think we're on that tier. I mean, even like a tier above, you could even argue if you want to go by their playoff performances. Like, I think the Phillies are better built for that kind of series baseball. And I think you're going to see the Phillies rise up and be one of those teams that is a wire-to-wire division winner this year.
And I know there's this thing where like, well, maybe we don't even want to win the division because then you sit and wait a week if you have one of those top two records.
Yeah, that seems like they ain't been working well.
Those are baby excuses.
It has not worked well, Hugh. You're right. It's been a weird thing the last 2 years. But I also say this. Maybe part of the reason the Phillies have run out of gas at the end of the playoffs is they got to play all the rounds.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe if we play less rounds, we got more in the tank.
Yeah.
Finish it out.
I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, you see the other teams didn't fare well. But you try to tweak it a little bit to make sure that you don't have that stagnant squad towards the end.
Sure.
If you have the break.
Yeah, I want to win the division. I love Kyle's take, the idea that they could win it wire to wire. I will say this. The Phillies, I believe, have enough to win the NL East. Agree, disagree. 215-592-9494. We'll throw the Phillies in the mix along with the Eagles conversation. Can we hear John Middleton, though, or the story from John Middleton, what he told the team? Is this who said this? Is it Real Muto? Real Muto on the message that
– This is just Clark.
Excuse me, John Clark. On the message, I guess it was relayed from JT, but the message John Clark heard that was said by John Middleton to the team – as they got to spring.
I'm told that Phil's owner, John Middleton, gave a very passionate speech, and his message was the same that he told Ryan Howard 15 years ago, bring that bleeping trophy back. John Middleton told the Phillies not one World Series. He wants to win multiple World Series.
We're not even going. We didn't even get one yet. We want multiple. Oh. Listen, I love how much he wants to win, John Middleton. And he wants his bleeping trophy back, Hugh. He wants it.
I'm okay with it. We got to get one first, though.
Dynasty war is a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one. But, I mean, it starts with one. Dynasty starts with one. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with him being as optimistic as he is, but it starts with one.
I want to win the division. That's why I want to start this thing. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Ed in Willow Grove is up on WIP. Hey, Ed.
Morning, guys. Hope
What's
everybody's
up?
Doing well.
Oh, you too, awesome, Ed. Man. What's up, buddy?
Guys, I want to make some points about the Eagles and Howie Roseman, and my last point's going to be about the SEC Conference of Football, if you could keep me on long enough for that.
Sure.
But to use your wrecking ball analogy, Howie Roseman will be in the control cabin of that wrecking ball mechanism, and I think the wrecking ball should swing and then swing back and knock him out of that cabin. Because I believe that he's 100% responsible for the problems on the defense, even though I think he's responsible for 0% of the problems on the offense. And this is what I'll pose to you guys. Is there any Eagles defensive starter who would have started for the Chiefs, the 49ers, or maybe even the Ravens?
Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter's probably
Hassan
the only
Reddick.
One. Reddick.
Reddick?
Reddick and Carter. But he did say the Chiefs and the 49ers. They have good pass rushers. I mean, Reddick probably starts.
Yeah, Reddick starts.
But, yeah, it's not – to answer your question, Ed, it's a very small number, one or two.
Yeah, which is a really bad state. We all know this. Under Howie Roseman in the 6 years, he only drafted one cornerback. That was Sidney Jones. He drafted – and I'm talking about the first and second round. Mm-hmm. First and second round. No safeties and no linebackers. And the conventional wisdom is because, well, they de-emphasized those positions. But I also think it's because he missed out on so many first and second round picks by taking like Andre Dillard and Derek Barnett and Jalen Reagor, he never really had the luxury of then, drafting for those positions. And that's 7/11 of the defense that he's basically has ignored or, really hasn't drafted those positions.
And, Ed, I also think he looks at it as a blind spot. I don't think how he trusts himself. I think he knows, and he knows that they and his scouting staff are good at picking defensive linemen, and they're good at picking offensive linemen, so they kind of just stick to that because they'll probably nail it. And I think they probably pass up good corners because they're not sure if they're right or not on the evaluation.
And thank you for saying that, because it brings me to my last point. I believe that he has so little confidence in this point in his ability. He's effectively outsourcing his talent picking to the coaches of the SEC, like Coach Smart and Nick Saban. He's basically saying, hey, if these guys were good enough for Coach Smart in Georgia and Alabama, then I guess they're pretty good, so let's draft them.
You're probably right. I mean, I'm looking at the drafts right now, Ed. And Ed, what's the TV show you want to throw at us?
Well, my wife really, really liked Happy Valley.
What is that?
Happy Valley is a British show. It gets very highly rated. It is a murder mystery crime show on British television called Happy Valley. She really liked it.
Let me Google
I'll check it out. Yeah, Ed, I watched the Crown recently with my wife. I had a good phone call. I liked the Crown. The Crown was way better than I thought it would be about, obviously, the British Crown.
British drama series, Happy Valley.
So there's a lot of British TV shows.
Some of them are pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I watched Doctor Who. Doctor Who's pretty good.
After we watched The Crown, like, you know, Netflix, your whole thing, you had algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gives you more recommendations based on what you watch. So, yes. Like, now I got every time I go on, there's a whole section, all these British shows that I think I'll watch. But to his point on outsourcing the picks, it is interesting. The last, if you look at the Eagles' last three drafts, the first, second, or third pick they made in all those drafts, Alabama, Alabama, Georgia, 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 Alabama. Like, seven of the nine have been those two schools.
Because most of the time, most of those kids that come from those schools, they're a little bit more disciplined. They run a lot of pro-style offenses and defenses, and they're easier to integrate for the most part.
And they're safer.
Yeah.
You're probably going to get a good player.
When you talk about and I know a lot of people hate me to say this, but when you talk about the best conference in college football, it's the SEC, hands down. The Big Ten used to be that, but it's Ohio State, Michigan, and then it's kind of like everybody else.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be close now because they added in all those.
Well, they got SC and UCLA.
They added Oregon, and, yeah. They added some good schools in.
Yeah, I still think it's going to be the same because most of those Pac-12 schools that we were talking about, they come into the college football playoffs, and most of the time they get trounced.
Mm.
Kind of like SC did this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got trounced.
Yeah, Washington lost to Michigan.
Yeah, that's who it was, Washington.
Yeah. Look, I don't think anyone's going to complain if Howie continues to take kids from big-time programs like Alabama and Georgia, but I do think there's something to what our last caller said. He's doing it because he probably feels it's safer. And they haven't drafted – I mean, last high pick they made at corner. And, Hugh, we're going to start doing our daily mocks at 1 o'clock coming up next week. The last time the Eagles took a corner – anywhere high in the draft.
It was from the SEC, wasn't it?
It was actually from Washington. Sidney Jones in 2017. Now, they took Ringo in the fourth round this year, but I mean like high. Like first or second round?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know what the last person I think about? I was thinking Lito.
Oh, well, that was, obviously.
02. Yeah.
And that was SEC too. But the last time they took one in the first or second round was 2017. It's a long time. I mean, that's usually you see teams, especially in a passing league, you take corners, you know, once every, I don't know, a few years, depending on how many you need, especially with the nickel playing so much. So it's a big thing. All right, let's talk to Kevin, who's up next at Summer 2. What's up, Kevin?
Okay.
Hey, Kevin.
Let me get you away from this very loud machine here.
You got it, man.
So I just had a quick Eagles point, and then wanted to go on about Kyle getting me absolutely fired up about Philly season, like 2 minutes ago. Eagles point, everybody stop coming at Joe and Hugh's neck. I'm about to start calling Hugh Coldwater Douglas the way he defused that one dude.
I like that. That's a good nickname, Coldwater Douglas.
You know what it is, Kevin? It's just like when you come with taste like that, man. I feel and I know that for the most part, I am real fair and balanced. So when you start talking about I'm trying to run people out of town, I get a little bit offended behind that. I really do.
Well, always puzzles me is like people calling in all like pissed off, like, oh, they had a hot take and now I want to call in. It's like, yeah, guys, that's their job. Like, they succeeded. Like, what are you mad about? Like, that's what they do. Like, they come up with stories to get people's ears and then you call in. I don't know. I love AJ. And personally, I'm excited to watch Kellen Moore let it fly. You know how wide receivers are. Once you start getting, the ball thrown your way, everything's kosher. You know what I mean? So,
for sure. Yeah, and Kevin, I think about what he did with CeeDee Lamb. I mean, CeeDee Lamb started to become a star with Kellen Moore. I mean, I think AJ could have a huge year next year here, for sure.
I know, Joe, you wouldn't know about this, but I'm like a glass half full guy. And so I'm thinking like that really with Kellen Moore and Vic, like I really think we got a shot to turn some heads this year. I think AJ could be capable of breaking his record from last year, honestly. So I'm trying to look at it like that. And once all this drama's done, I mean, it's just the off season. We just, there's always something. So whatever. And there's nothing going on. So AJ's in the spotlight. I love AJ. I think he's staying here. Whatever else we got to work out, whatever, keep him. I'm ready to let it, see what happens with him and Kellen together.
Yeah. And Kevin, I'm with you on this and you'll be surprised. I am the glass half full on this. I think Kellen Moore will be an upgrade for them. I think Hurts will be, assuming he's healthy, right? Cause the knee was an issue this year. Jalen is healthier. I think Jalen's going to have a much better year next year with Kellen Moore. I think they could score a lot of points next season.
Yeah, absolutely. And about the Phillies, I called immediately as soon as I heard Kyle say that because I was thinking that in my head too. Like, everyone just always assumes that we're going to be like the little brother to the Braves in the division, and obviously recent history has shown that. But I don't know, man. I think we took a little bit of their soul last year, even more. And they're a bunch of goobers, dude. Like, I think they're going to screw it up, honestly, a little bit this year. I know they got talent, but it's like, I don't know. It's just kind of like a bunch of goobers running around playing baseball, and then when it's time to get serious, like, they don't know what to do.
Yeah, and I think a lot of them had career years last year. I don't think Olsen's hitting 50-something home runs again. And some of their pitchers are older. Morton's older, and Sale is older. I think we're getting a division race this year, Kevin. I think they have enough to be there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really looking forward to catching some of those games and actually compete. And I'm with Kyle. I think we're going wire to wire. I don't know if that's a prop bet I can make, but as soon as I get off this call, I'm going to look up and see, and I'm going to make it.
So I don't think it is either, but you get darn good odds if you could. You let me know if that is a prop bet. Kevin, give us a TV show we should watch.
All right, well, I had one for Ichi. Is that cool?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, this one's more up Hugh's alley just because I know his style. It's Rick and Morty. I think you should give that a watch.
You know what, Kevin, I beat you to it. I've watched even the new season of Rick and Morty. I beat you to that. But yeah, I love Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I figured it might be like a little set show, and I know I'm not naming names to you, but there might be someone coming back to the station that might kind of feel that same way you do about.
You know what?
I feel like that might be the case. You know, I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. I didn't used to see him all the time in my store, but Joe, the one I have for you, this is a great show that was on HBO a couple of years ago. It's called The Newsroom.
Okay.
With Jeff Daniels from Dumb and Dumber, and he actually, when they filmed the second Dumb and Dumber, he left the newsroom, unfortunately. It's only about 3 seasons, but it's literally the best acting he's ever done. It's a fantastic show.
I'm a big fan of his, too. He's done a lot of good stuff. Kevin, I'll watch that one. We appreciate the phone call. How about that? He gave us a recommendation for each of us.
I respect how people listen and know, like, how I, like, feel like they know me well enough to pick a show. Yeah, I was all on Rick and Morty.
I think he summed up how people view us, that he gave me The Newsroom and gave you Rick and Morty.
Yes.
I think that.
Yes. I mean, that's telling.
Yeah.
That's telling.
That fit pretty well.
Yeah, that's a contrasting dynamic.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, he's a good listener. Tim in Philadelphia. What's up, Tim?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, what's up, Tim. Man? What's up?
On the Eagles. And no, I never hear no one talk about this. They need to get a new backup quarterback. Mariota is trash.
He might not be here.
Oh, Tim, I'm with you. And I think they need a higher-end backup quarterback because, you know, Jalen played banged up this past season. Hopefully he could play the whole year next year again. But, I mean, the reality is he's probably going to miss a game or two. It's the NFL.
Exactly. That's what I was going to get at. Maybe he was scared to come out of the game. They all were because they didn't want to put Mariota in.
Well, remember they had to do it in, what, was it week 18 when Jalen hurt his finger and they were losing anyway? That was not pretty, watching Mariota.
Exactly, right. And they definitely need to work on that defense. They need cornerbacks, they need safeties, and they need linebackers. I mean, the defensive line and plus the offensive line is coming out soon, too. Kelsey's going to leave. Lane Johnson probably has only a few years left. So, yeah, they got a lot of work ahead of them.
They need a lot. You and I view it similarly. They got a lot of work to do. I mean, they may have to change out 15 players here to get where they want to go. Tim, what are you thinking on the Bryce Harper? Extend him or wait?
I think give him incentives. You know, if he wants a contract deal, wait 5 years or so into your contract, and then, I mean, 8 years left, and then you're asking for a new deal? No. Give him some incentives, and if he gets so many home runs in such a short amount of time, give him a couple, you know, throw him some money for that. But, no, you don't give him 5 years into 45 years old. You wait till he's at least 30. What, you going to be 38 when his contract
is up? Yeah, he'll be 38 at the end, yep.
I wouldn't give it to him now, but you could give him something just to keep him happy. But
you and I are similar on this. It's crazy to do it now. It's way too close to the beginning.
Early.
Tim, what TV show should we watch?
All right, first I wanted to tell you The Office. It started in England with Ricky Gervais, so The Office is trash anyway. I didn't like it, so I would give you Boardwalk Empire and Band of Brothers, if you've never seen them.
Yeah, I've heard of both of them. Boardwalk Empire was an HBO thing maybe 15 years ago. Good stuff, Tim. I appreciate it. Boardwalk Empire. You ever see that one?
Yeah, no, I haven't. I thought about watching it because of the, you know, how it, like, they finished the whole series a while ago. So I thought about watching it, but I never got into it. So yeah, that might be one to check out.
I like that we're doing this today on Today's Try Day because there are too many options. You ever go on, I mean, whether it's Tubi, Hugh, or Netflix or Hulu, and you're overwhelmed by options. Like, what do I watch?
Yeah, what are you watching? What's good? Because for me, it's one of those things where it has to move pretty quick. You know, if it doesn't grab me within the first 10, 15 minutes, I'm
you're
probably
out?
Not going to watch. Yeah, it's kind of like that for me.
Yeah, I'll usually do an episode, and if I don't like it, then I won't continue. All right, 215-592-9494. A lot to discuss. The Eagles. Do they need major or minor roster changes this offseason? I think it's major. I think they got a lot of work to do here. We're on A.J. Brown watch. He said he would call in today, unprompted. Said he was going to call WIP today. A.J. Brown calls. We'll take that phone call right away. And, of course, the Phillies. Kyle thinks they're going to win this division. Lead it wire to wire. I think they have enough to win the NL East for the first time in a very long time. Agree, disagree. When we come back, strong words from Peter King this morning on Jalen Hurts' past season. That's next. Your phone calls as well, right here in the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.